Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
I got 800 people to say Merry Christmas to me, so it's going to be a good Christmas. What precious words are those two words? A powerful greeting of faith and love. Tonight we celebrate that our perfect, powerful Creator God took on human flesh, the human condition, with all that entails. How much does he love us? How surely, therefore, are we in this world of flesh and sin and love and faith to have hope? Another magic word at Christmas is family. Our family, however we define it, in whatever phase it has evolved. We share many memories, tell many stories at Christmas. We make great effort to travel, to get together, to prepare, to be here tonight. I'll share you a couple of my very early Christmas memories. One of the great symbols of Christmas, of course, is the star. It's really Epiphany, but it's all one season. When we grew up, I grew up very young, when I was young, on a farm in a rural area. And and I grew up in a family full of faith and love. A German Catholic father, Irish Catholic mother. These first years were precious to me. And I'm thinking back in this memory to about 1947. We were all outside, it was the Christmas season. And it was myself and my two next brothers, and my mother for sure, and I think my dad. And the boys are thinking, where's the Star of Bethlehem? Any of you ever looked for the Star of Bethlehem when you were young? And so we did. And in the rural sky, there's no light pollution. There's all these stars. We never get to see that. It's worth a trip out in the country on a clear night just to see all the stars. And so three boys, 5, 6, and 7, we started saying, well, I think that's the star. And then the other one picked another star. Another one, another star. Well, my mother's standing there very patiently, and she's, you know, competition. Three lads start that very early. And she said, you know, I think it's over there. It's that one over there. It's near the east. She restored peace on earth. Mom, wise and loving, loved her boys, and she brought us back to that marvelous moment, seeing that we might spoil it because in an early life, we were sinners. Another precious Christmas symbol is the Christmas crib. Out there in the entrance, there's a crib, it's a statue, and people have put, you know, decorated and everything, but that statue was made many, many years ago, 40 years ago perhaps, or more, by one of the parishioners. It's one of our parish's very prized possessions. The crib is, again, a symbol of the Holy Family. And I remember my brother, he was one of the three, and he decided we needed a crib. We didn't have a father by that time, and so none of us could do much about nails and saws, but he was probably the best. And so he built one out of orange crates. Remember when we used to have orange crates, wooden orange crates, and we got our wood from them. And he built this, and it was really one very big, about like this, about like this, and it was like a barn, kind of, and he painted it, stained it brown. And that crib, I'm sure, is still in the family. What a precious thing that was that he made for us. And we had it under the tree, and Mom had it under the trees all the years until she died. We all have family and Christmas stories. I hope you'll have a chance over these days to share memories and stories. I'm sure you already have. Maybe it's in a card or a letter. or a phone call. I even got a couple texts this morning. I'm really with it. They don't write cards anymore. If I don't do texts, I don't get any in a certain generation. So wherever you are in your family, it's good to get together. As followers of Jesus, then, we are called to enflesh God into the life of humanity, to bring love and faith and hope to our part of the world in probably a mostly a small way, perhaps a larger way, where we are and in our hearts, where there will be peace today. And it's our call always to be Christ bearers, to bring peace and love. Another magic Christmas word is Christmas Mass. We're here. Maybe we've been going very busy and going on, and lots of travel or whatever we've done to get here, but we're here. Maybe we had to think, do I want to go to Mass? Yeah, I do. It's Christmas. And we're here, not in any church, but St. Pius Church. Let us celebrate then in faith and in peace. Let us let go of the busyness and the worry and the hurts that might be there. There's peace in our songs tonight. Silent Night, we'll sing after communion. O Holy Night, we heard. Glory to God in the highest. O come all you faithful. We're all faithful. We wouldn't be here if we weren't. We're faithful and good people to whatever measure we are at this time in our life. We listen to the stories also, after all that human understanding, the stories of Scripture. And they come, the story of the gospel, I don't know, but I had to memorize that someplace in grade school. The gospel of Luke, the Christmas gospel. So I know it by heart, or I used to at least. It's set up in the background of a cruel and greedy and power-hungry Roman emperor and the Jewish king, Herod. And Jesus is born from a very unusual couple. And he comes from a very humble village, Nazareth. We'd probably call it a hick town of some kind. It was looked down upon. We kind of think of Jesus maybe as Christ the King. But humility and humbleness are the only way that the king gets the message across. And Jesus is born not in Jerusalem, the big town, but in a little town on the edge, kind of outside. You know, now it's a little town of Bethlehem, and the TV's there, and the church is there. It wasn't anything. He just had to go. They had to go there because the Roman emperor told them to. We think of the story of the innkeeper. I think the innkeeper's got a bad rap. I remember growing up saying that mean old innkeeper wouldn't let the Holy Family into the inn. Well, they weren't the Holy Family at that point. They were, but nobody would recognize them. They were a couple that were very common. And she was pregnant. So I look on the innkeeper as somebody good and kind. I presume they carried like a tent or something. They traveled a long ways. And he was a carpenter. He probably had some skills. But he put them in a place where it would be warm. And I don't know. It probably wasn't a wooden crib like my brother built. There's not that much wood there. But someplace, and the animals were there, I'm sure lots of other people. They were there, and they helped Mary bring her child into this world. And they fed each other. They shared food. That's the way I look at it. That's the way ordinary people operate. So I don't blame the innkeeper. I think he did the best he could because there was this big crowd. And he saw that she was pregnant. He didn't know she was the Blessed Virgin Mary. She was just a woman from the outskirts of Israel in Galilee. We're here to share the sacrament. Jesus, talk about memory. Jesus said, do this in memory of me. Jesus in the flesh. In 2019, not in all those other years, this year, not just individually, me and Jesus, but together as a community, the St. Pius community, and all who have come tonight to join us. There's no qualifications that are all that strict. Sometimes we were busy making communion. You have to be perfect to be to communion. Well, you have to believe, and you have to be trying to live the best life you can. But you can come. There's nobody that's too young, except little children, I guess. Nobody that's too old. Nobody that's too ordinary. Nobody that's too broken. It's the broken people, and that's all of us who are hungry. Nobody's too lost. Nobody's too busy. Each one of us comes to this altar and are welcomed. And we come together, whatever our station, being fed and renewed by the flesh of Jesus. So Advent, Christmas, is a fresh beginning. We once again renew that Jesus was made incarnate, as the creed says, and that we are called to be Christ bearers. Jesus is seen in the scriptures as the light to the nations, and that's our call too. Our call is to be one of those million stars, just one, or maybe a group together, a family. But when you add them all up, what is there? How many? 6+ billion people in the world? We are part of that constellation, that marvelous experience that you can see, all those stars. We can be an incredible sign of God. We have to believe that. And then we can also build a crib. We can build a home for Jesus in our homes with our families, or wherever we live, and wherever we work, and wherever we travel. And our lives then are the story of repetition and a growing and an evolution of these powerful symbols we celebrate tonight. It's deadly to not grow, to not include. If we start to try to separate and say these people don't belong or that people don't, there's a lot of that in this world. We got a lot of work to do. Once we start, our family grows. When you live many birthdays, like I have, I got a lot of family. It's wonderful to be the age I am and know and love all the people that I know. So what happened in this last year in terms of our building up the family of Christ bearers? We did expand, I'm sure. We expand, it's broader, but the older we get, I think, the deeper it goes. We come into very deep relationships. The most mature in our original family, perhaps, but lots of ways. Yes, the world's a bit of a mess. I watched the news for about 5 minutes tonight, and that's all I could take. But we are called to make a difference. Our families can... There are people who aren't talking to each other, brothers and sisters. My family's changed radically. All of the people that were out there watching the stars, except me, are gone. My parents and both of those brothers. But I got lots of new ones. And so we can grow and deepen. And sometimes even the church is a bit of a mess. We're made of human beings. And that's true also. But we can bring that church as baptized people, as Christ bearers, every one of us, to make it a better place. So when we say, I'm discouraged and do not have hope, let us remember that we say, Merry Christmas. Not all is hopeless. What does the scripture say? Nothing is impossible for God.